Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Welcome to Share Talk. Today we've got Greg Harmon-Dayon, who has been a consultant to both De Beers and Anglo-American. And Greg is going to be speaking at the Mines and Technology event in Toronto between the 2nd and 4th of October later this year. Welcome, Greg.
Hi, John.
So you're going to be talking about innovation in the modern mine, but could you give us a bit of an overview of the kind of work that you've done for both De Beers and Anglo-American?
Yeah, certainly. Just recently, De Beers has launched the new GK mine in Northwest Territories, approximately 250 kilometers northeast of Yellowknife. It's a very remote mine with harsh conditions. And as a project manager, my responsibility was to deliver the infrastructure components required to get the mine live and operational. At its highest peak, it housed approximately 600 people in the construction phase with all the required facilities and amenities needed to conduct your business, everything from a full-on SAP system through to being able to FaceTime with your friends and family back home, in addition to all the mining technical systems involved. With respect to Anglo-American, being the parent body of De Beers and the parent company, the responsibility and accountability there was to ensure that their systems adhered to the standards. And being a new mine, it pushed the envelope in certain areas as to what technologies were adopted and presented as the new standard back to Anglo-American. Keeping in mind that the GK mine became operational well within 2 years and is now active and running at full capacity.
So what kind of efficiencies are you putting in place to ensure that these mines sort of return value?
Well, to start off with, you focus on your core competencies. From a technology perspective, being in the business of personal rather than corporate communications becomes quite a challenge. The very first thing that we did was to separate and differentiate. We went to what you would almost consider a hoteling kind of service, where your personal communications and emails would be subscribed over a private network, a corporate network, so that you're not mixing and intermingling the two types of data and traffic. So we went to a third company where we implemented the system based on their infrastructure and our design, and we basically implemented a hoteling service of sorts for your personal communications, whether it be email, voice, video, whatever the case may be. It was all done on a private network. That gave us the opportunity to, obviously, the remote location bandwidth and power is a very critical challenge. So what we were able to do is separate those and alleviate the pressures on the corporate network, which would be in quite a bit of demand when it came to the 32 or 33 applications, these technical system applications that had to run in real time or near real time. Things like, obviously, SAP, you had your mining technical systems, you had your plant-based systems, you had your monitoring and your reporting systems, all very dependent on a smooth and always available network in place to conduct the day-to-day operations of the business. So that was one of the very first things that we did. And the second thing we did is we put together a strategy and plan for the growth and migration of the camp as it went from just construction to pure full-on operation. And so you timed your technology properly too. So you start off with satellite communications, and then you grow into microwave communications, and then you grow into other various range-extending services that would allow you to capture more and more data across the mine. And the third thing that we did was obviously put a strategy forward for what a modern mine should look like. I'm not talking about the mine of the future. The mine of the future is far, far more advanced than what our modern mine is. But our modern mine is basically the capabilities of what's out there with technology today with respect to IoT, with respect to just doing things the smarter way rather than the tried and tested way only because it's been proven in the past. So you remove your footprint with the basics virtual machines, a lot of virtual machines, make it very easily deployable based on the customer demands. You start making arrangements and accommodations for cloud computing, even though it is a remote mine, but you time that with the progression of your network. Obviously, you're not going to do cloud-based computing on satellite. You're going to wait until microwave comes in just because of the latency factors. In addition to that, you basically start looking at other technologies and start making considerations for things like augmented reality, things like artificial intelligence. Now, that hasn't been fully deployed, but that's been defined within the strategy. At the end of the day, if you've got a good, solid network infrastructure that will handle the load that you're going to place on it from a traffic perspective and from a quality of service perspective, then you can start exploring opportunities with respect to IoT and with respect to real-time data analytics. And you can go out and deploy sensors and cameras. I have always said this, sensors and cameras everywhere, even places you don't know why. But the data being there allows you to then start mining, no pun intended, for opportunity within the realm of operation.
Yeah, so I mean, you put all these strategies and these new technologies in place, and is it a case now of you have to evaluate all the data that comes back before you can really go back and improve what you've already started?
Absolutely, that's what you need to do. You're very much in a discovery phase. What do I do with all this data? You have to really think back to the business. You have to push the business to say, listen, why don't you tell me what your pain points are? What would you like to be able to accomplish if I were to tell you three things that you need? If I were to ask you, what are the top three issues that you have? Would you define that for me from an operations perspective? Let me see if I can help you visualize that problem, number one, and two, then model the solution based on the data that we have available. It's all about adoption. It's all about defining what that business requirement is. So from that perspective, nothing has changed, regardless of the fact that technology is so awesome and capable of doing so many different things. You still have to define what your problem is. And that's where a lot of it is lost. The technology is just thrown into place because of the cool factor sometimes. And, the real opportunity is missed in sitting down and presenting a real problem, a real solution with a real cost-benefit analysis. And so at this point in time, deploying the technology is not the issue. The adoption and the actual practical application of what's possible is the issue. So you really have to define what your problem is. So, for example, if you want to improve the efficiency and the productivity of your truck, well, you really have to define what your problem is. Are you using your trucks? In these cases, for example, it's not that the trucks are running slow. It's just that they're running at times that they don't need to be running. So you can, if you have the data, you can understand that. And then what you can do is you can bank those hours rather than have them operational. You can have your resources go back to training. They can exercise more and relax somewhere. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is going to be a benefit, because you're not wasting resources, whether it be personnel or fuel or anything else along those lines. So it all comes down to defining what your problem is. That's where the current challenge clearly remains. The technology is there to solve as many of the problems as you can define.
So what's next for you, Greg? I mean, what projects are you working on at the moment, if you can tell us any more?
Sure. Right now, I'm working with, believe it or not, I'm working within the retail space and energy space. Both industries are, and continuing with mining, of course, and very much like mining, and they're all eager to push the envelope on innovation. Retail more than anything else, and on the retail side is quite advanced. And what that allows me to do is take ideas and take lessons learned from various industries and leverage them across the board. So retail has really pushed on believe it or not, augmented reality and you know what's been termed retail bots. Eugene Roman from Canadian Tire is an excellent example of someone who's really pushing the envelope and to understand retail behavior and you know how to even influence that behavior through through real time analytics and through a lot of psychological analysis and of retail behavior within stores, at home, in front of a computer, whatever the case might be. Now, you stop and think, say, how is that useful within the mining sector? Well, you start understanding in the same way with the same technologies, you can determine behavior on the mine, physical behavior, and you can translate that to safety, and you can translate that to risk reduction. So if you know where your people are, and you can heat map that, and you can predict and determine where they're going to be at a certain point of time, or model it based on a scenario that might take place. So, for example, a code 1 situation or code 2, whatever the case may be, even model that, and you can predict some behavior, then you can really drive efficiencies and determine that, for example, a lot of your employees are coming in to their muster points, and they're still doing physical checks. And with respect to a sheet on a board, you don't necessarily need real-time data analytics to determine, you know, the next step for that. The next step for that is, why are we doing this paper-based? We should do it digital-based. You know, we have a tablet, and people have a scanning card or a bracelet or whatever the case might be that's part of their asset while they're at the mine, and you can basically monitor where they are and monitor if they're standing up or if they're lying down. Now, it's not an invasion of privacy if everybody agrees to the fact that this is used for safety and for heat mapping, for example, in emergency situations. You no longer have to go through a list of, you know, 40, 50 people at each muster point, which takes about an hour to do, and then track down the one that isn't where their muster point is supposed to be. You can manage it on exception at that point, where people are just basically scanning themselves right through the system. The system doing something very simple like an iPad and a scan card or a bracelet. And then you can determine very quickly, hey, we're missing John Smith. Where's John Smith? Oh, you know, he's appeared in sector 24 where he was supposed to be in 19. Okay, he's covered. We're fine. You know, it's no longer a two-hour effort to determine where everybody is at any given time. That's just a simple version. And the technologies are out there. I know most mines probably implemented something along those lines right now. But for those mines that haven't, they're still kind of either thinking about it or wondering why they have to do it the manual way, but they're really not taking that step. Well, if you go across industries, you go back to retail, my point on retail, not only do they know where their customers are, they know how their customers behave, they know the eye movements of customers in certain companies. And so for me, the next step is to try to take bits and pieces of technology and use cases where it's most appropriate across industries and really interleave them where it's appropriate. And of course, everything has to be a proper fit. You can't just do something again for the cool factor. I'm trying to avoid that because there's a lot of cool factor technologies and toys that are out there. But we've got to take that smart and very methodical approach, which is what I'm working on right now. So my next big push is going to be on augmented reality and holographic imaging, because I think one of the issues is this is before the data analytics, because what we need to do is we need to visualize the data that we do have and interpret that. I think that's a big, big step. If the common average everyday user at the mine level can interpret the information that's there better than what they're doing right now, that's a huge step, and that's what I'm following.
Okay, Greg. I think anyone who's going to be attending your presentation at Mines and Technology is obviously going to get a lot out of it. And we look forward to seeing you there in Toronto on the 2nd to the 4th of October. And thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much, John. Pleasure being here. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.